Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Researchers have been interested in the effects of secondhand smoke for many years. And in fact, most of the initial studies relative to secondhand smoke in humans were initially done on animals, specifically laboratory animals. Later, others expanded that research to companion animals who actually lived in households with smokers. Previous studies with companion dogs indicated that secondhand smoke was associated with multiple health problems, including cancers, cell damage, and, interestingly, weight gain. Is something in the smoke causing this problem? Perhaps whatever it is in the smoke that has the addictive effect in some humans? Or is it because the owners of these animals have some addictive properties of their own, which makes them more addicted to feeding their animals treats? It's unknown. The other part of this is, although I've used the term secondhand smoke, relative to pets, it's more than a secondhand smoke problem. When most of us think of secondhand smoke, we think of, well, smoke. You know, that whitish-grayish stuff that smokers spew out that wafts through the house. But it turns out that it's the particulate matter in the smoke, the tiny particles in the smoke, that sink. They settle and form a film on the furniture, on the carpeting, pretty much everywhere in the house. Although small children do have health problems related to secondhand smoke, companion dogs and cats have a different problem. They're smaller, they're closer to the ground, they spend more time flat on the floor against that rug permeated with smoke particles. A fair number of them spend most, if not all, of their time in the house in the smoky particulate environment. Unlike kids who, when they reach a certain age, will go to a smoke-free school, daycare, or other activities, the dogs and cats don't get much of a chance to get away from it. As you would expect, cats are particularly vulnerable. This occurs not only because they're much smaller, but also because they're groomers. So when we combine the shorter lifespan with the smaller size and the grooming, that makes cats particularly susceptible to the effects of secondhand and, more importantly, particulate smoke. Veterinary researcher Veronica Smith has specifically been studying the effect of smoke on lymphoma, a cancer of the blood cells. So far, their work has shown that being an in- and outdoor cat doesn't confer protection relative to the negative effects of secondhand and particulate smoke. Nor does the owner of a strict house cat who smokes outside protect that cat from the negative effects of secondhand and particulate smoke. Smith's team also discovered that even if smokers reduced the number of cigarettes they smoked per day significantly, and the researchers defined significantly as less than 10 cigarettes per day, the nicotine levels in the cat would drop significantly, but it would still be higher than normal. You can see what a vicious cycle these animals can get themselves into pretty quickly. They groom themselves because they like to be clean. When they groom themselves, they swallow the particles, which further raises their nicotine level, and round they go. So there we are. Our habits are making our pets sick. The answer is a complex one, because it's a human-centered one. It's up to the person to stop smoking and to decontaminate the household. In the end, it boils down to same old, a cost-benefit analysis. The benefits of having a healthy dog and cat versus the costs of giving up smoking and cleaning up the house. For many people, it's a no-brainer. The question is whether the no-brainer answer is, are you joking? Or, yeah, I'd do that for my pet.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.